So our text is from 1 Corinthians, these words, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this past couple of weeks has been all about power. It's been all about wisdom. I mean, in the news, in the events of today, hasn't it? It's good to note, for example, that once again we witnessed a peaceful exchange of power, an exchange of power from one president to the next. And of course, as we all know, that exchange of power was greeted by protest, by a protest that raised the question as to power, as to who has it, and what ultimately can be done with it, and what ultimately should be done with it. So, wisdom also was a topic of current affairs, wasn't it? The question as to what should be done. For the question has been raised indeed repeatedly this last week as to what a new president should do, what a new president should say, what a new president should think. After all, a president of the United States wields much power, the most powerful office in the world, the presidency of the United States has been called. And how that power is used, how it's used, is a matter ultimately of wisdom, isn't it? So the topics of the day, power and wisdom. Of course, each of us personally knows this on a much lower scale, knows about power and wisdom. Power we usually equate with our paycheck, our pension, our income, whatever it may be. Our income determines what we can and cannot do within the world, or so we think. Wisdom, of course, we hope governs the usage of the income, that power in our lives. So each of us wields a bit of power and utilizes a bit of wisdom. And would we like more? Would we like more power and with it more wisdom? We think so. I mean, that seems to be the popular way to look at both. Is bigger income better? Yes. More education, more experience? Better. More wisdom? Yes. So the world pursues both and puts that power, puts that wisdom on display for all to see, doesn't it? To see in clothing, transportation, activities. So, when Christ our Savior is called the power of God and the wisdom of God, these are terms with which we are not unfamiliar, and neither were the Jews of Jesus' day. Neither were the Greeks the first century. For what the Jews were lacking and what they really desired was power, raw political, military, and economic power. For they had had it. They'd had it at one time in their history, especially under Kings David and Solomon. Under King Solomon especially, Israel had become a nation every bit as powerful as Egypt and Assyria, that up-and-coming Babylon and Persia, not unsurprisingly the same powers who still hold sway in the Middle East today, form of Egypt and Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Yes, in Israel under Kings David and Solomon had been an international powerhouse, even a superpower, but abandoning their service of God, their faith in God, the kingdom of Israel fell from that position of power. Being conquered by Assyria, and then Babylon, and then becoming a vassal state to the Greeks, and finally, the Romans. So by the time of Jesus Christ, one rebellion after another occurred. One group of Jewish rebels seeking to wrest power after another from Rome, after another, none of which succeeded. And that's what the fear was when the high priest speaking to Jesus said, you remember this, it's good for one man to die for the sins of the people, by which he meant it's good that Jesus be crucified, for otherwise there might be mass slaughter of the Jews by the Romans, as yet another rebellion looks like it's breaking out here in Jerusalem on the Passover. Of course, the Greeks had had their day as well. Under Alexander the Great, 300 years before the time of Christ, the Greeks had conquered the known world. And while their political control, their political power was not as long-lived as hoped, their cultural power lasted long beyond their wildest imaginations. For Alexander the Great, when he conquered, he also spread. That is, he spread Greek culture throughout the lands he conquered, and that Greek culture rose to prominence, to a position of dominance over all the other cultures up until the 15th century. In other words, the time of Christ, the Greeks were on the top of the intellectual heap, and there they stayed. So those Greeks, they didn't need political power, military power, raw power, for the Greeks had cultural power. That is, the Greeks had wisdom and were constantly seeking for more. During the time of Christ, those Greeks were known as the wisest of the wise, spending their time pursuing what? The right life, the right action, the right way to live, and doing so on a dizzying intellectual level. Oddly enough, in so doing, the Greeks constantly discussed who they thought God was, how they thought God worked, and what they thought God wanted them to do. The Jews, on the other hand, also were discussing God, praying to God, worshiping God, with the hopes that God would send the long-promised Messiah so that they could finally have power. Military power, political power, economic power. And God did do that. He did send that Messiah. He sent Jesus Christ. But the power that the Christ came to wield was not the worldly, the political, the military power the Jews were looking for. And the Greeks, they also saw in Christ one who possessed great wisdom. We want to see Jesus. Remember a couple of Greeks asked Philip? And hearing a section of the Sermon on the Mount this morning, who was to argue with the Greeks that this Jesus possessed great wisdom? But any affinity for Jesus by the Jews and the Greeks came to a halt at the cross, at the crucifixion. Why? Well, dying such a death as Christ did on a cross signaled definitely the end of any political or military or economic power the Jews would have gained through him. And as for the Greeks, how wise was this Jesus Christ ultimately if he allowed himself to be executed in such a way? And to add insult to injury over the head of Christ in Greek and in Aramaic had been written, the King of the Jews. For he was no king of their liking, no political king, no military king, no economic king like King David had been. He was no king, no wise king as Solomon had been. So what was he? What was this Jesus on the cross? What was the crucifixion outside of Jerusalem on the eve of Passover? It was foolishness, utter foolishness. It was a stumbling block, an event that couldn't be understood. What was going on? Well, what's going on with us, even yet today, with our pursuit of power, with our pursuit of wisdom? Are we not prone to gravitate towards power, even within the church? That is, towards a church that seems to be overcoming the world in all sorts of ways, political, economic, and others? Are we not prone to move towards that even within the church, which promises a higher wisdom, a wisdom that gives us the inside scoop on God and what we should say and what we should do and what we should think to get ahead in the world? If so, the cross of Jesus Christ can also become for us a stumbling block. For us, foolishness. But it is a foolishness that makes the wisdom of this world foolishness. For no matter how man strives to understand God, to appease God, to manipulate God, apart from Christ, such understanding, such appeasement, such manipulation is really just foolishness. And no matter how often man would invoke God for political ends to somehow overcome the world and rule here and now in power, such efforts will always end in powerlessness. As they stumble over the Christ, stumble over Jesus Christ, stumble over the cross of Jesus Christ. For it's there, There in that cross outside of Jerusalem where Jesus is hanging, where the power of God is found, where the wisdom of God is found. For the power of God is to be found in the forgiveness of sin for all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The power of God is to be found in the Holy Spirit who is sent to all who believe because of that crucifixion. And the power of God is to be found in the life of Christians who would also live so foolishly believing in that crucifixion by daily putting all their lives into the life of that crucifixion. For there and only there can be found the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. There and only there is to be found true wisdom, true power. Yes. To the world, the cross of Christ has been and always will be foolishness. It will always be seen by the world as powerlessness. That means that we who grasp that the power of God, the wisdom of God, is to be found in the cross of Christ and only in the cross of Christ, for there is where the power and the wisdom is to be found, we're going to be found by the world equally to be foolish, powerless, speed bumps, even roundabouts. But that's the way God has chosen to work in the world in these end times. God works in the world through what is deemed to be foolishness by the world. God works in the world through what is deemed to be powerlessness in the world. So when God accomplishes what he does accomplish, and he does so through his holy word, he creates faith in the man, in the hearts of man. He creates life. He creates salvation. When he does that, because he's done it in such a foolish way, in such a way that has no power in this world, no human being can boast that it's been their accomplishment, something they have done in their power, their wisdom. And what is more, the kingdom of God can be seen in the world as nothing other but that which God himself has created, using that which the world deems as nothing. And that's the proclamation of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul proclaimed that he would preach Christ, but not just Christ. He'd preach Christ and him crucified. And the Apostle Paul would also link that crucifixion to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, the crucifixion. In other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ is foolishness, the sacrament of the altar, powerless to the world. But it is, that is the gospel. And the visible gospel, the Lord's Supper, it is ultimately the power of God. For through it, who comes to us by the power of the Spirit but our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who declared upon his resurrection from the dead. You remember what he said? All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and teach all nations. That is, you go and proclaim that which the world deems to be foolish and lacking any discernible power. You go and proclaim Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. And while you proclaim Christ, you live Christ. You live as Christians, the power of God and the wisdom of God, as daily you remain in his word, which keeps you in Christ foolish, which keeps you in Christ powerless, which keeps you in Christ in God.